It's time to talk some Oregon hoops. What a game last night. We'll get to the details of the first ever sweep on the road at SoCal, now up to eighth in the polls. Return home this weekend for the Arizona schools. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at GoDucksKG. Kelly Graves joins us. Coach, congrats on the double dip down there. How are things?
Oh, Steve, man, good to be with you. Yeah, things are going great. Today was a lot of fun. We don't practice on Mondays. We just kind of run, lift, and shoot. And so we had a chance to kind of enjoy it as a staff a little bit and watch the game again and, use it as a teaching tool and get better. But today was fun around the office, no doubt.
You know, I get as coaches and players at this level, you're always up for games, you know, this conference. But, you know, I was watching last night, both sides with Coach Close, your staff, you, your group. This didn't seem to be your normal run-of-the-mill Pac-12 game for the first Sunday in January. It seemed like, would I be accurate in saying the intensity was jacked up just a little bit more?
It was, as much as anything I've seen, certainly in the conference other than the Civil War games. It had a definite NCAA regional kind of feel. I mean, there were over 7,000 fans there. It was, they have a DJ down there. It makes for a really fun atmosphere. But two good teams knowing that they were really playing for, you know, just kind of some early season, you know, driver's seat kind of action. And both teams played well. The intensity was really up. The defense was good. Two really good teams. It was a lot of fun to coach in. And, man, Steve, I was so proud of our team and the poise that they played with down the stretch and our ability to really slow one of the, elite teams in our game, slow them down. So it was a heck of an effort and a heck of a game all the way around.
Now, I mentioned earlier the first time the Oregon has swept down there, and I know you don't get to pick the order, and obviously there are some legendary basketball venues in this country, Allen Fieldhouse, Gallagher-Iba Arena, and of course, Pauley. How much more special is it to win such a big game at a facility like that?
Oh, well, for me personally, I grew up during the UCLA heyday, so I remember those teams, Walton, Jabbar, and even before that with his first group, Walt Hazard, and that team.
Yep.
I mean, it was it's pretty neat. And just to see the retired jerseys up there, I like to quiz my team. You know, they don't know who Gail Goodrich is, and they don't even know who Ed O'Bannon is. And but anyway, it's neat, and they've done a great job with the redo there. It's a beautiful place, and a heck of an atmosphere. And it's like hallowed ground, and the shrine that they have, the museum up there to Coach Wooden is really impressive, pretty neat.
Talking Duck Hoops with Kelly Graves now, two wins into his next 500. Obviously, you can't win both without the first. Friday night at the Galen Center, it looked like both your teams, both USC and you, struggled a little bit offensively. But, man, at crunch time, Maite hit a huge three. Free throws iced it. Everybody's talking about UCLA because it's day after. But what about your performance and in particular Maite and the win over the Trojans?
Well, Maite was great in both games. And, oh, my goodness, that USC game, it looked like we'd never played the game of basketball before. First quarter, we shot 14% from the field and had 10 turnovers. I told the team at halftime, that may have been the worst quarter in the history of Oregon basketball. And but we came back, like you said, made the plays down the stretch. It was funny, that day, Friday afternoon, I was talking to an old coaching buddy, and he said, Kelly, what are you going to do when you get in a close game? Because we hadn't, through our first 15, had not played a single-digit game.
Right.
In a win or a loss. And I thought, prove that, we can win those close games both nights. But, boy, we struggled. It was a knockdown, drag-out game against USC Friday, but again, we made the plays down the stretch. Ruthie, a couple big hoops, and like you said, Maite was incredible.
Now, as far as last night, beyond the stat sheet, seems the Bruins were really keyed on Sabrina, especially during some important possessions in the fourth quarter. And on multiple occasions when they were applying pressure, Maite Cazorla was able to get the inbound, clear out, and kind of break the press herself. How big was that to kind of handle the heat and allow you to finish like you did?
Well, you know, it's huge. I think Sabrina would actually prefer to play off the ball. And in that situation, just, you know, we don't care. Let them try to take Sabrina out. I've got great confidence in Mike Day. And you're talking about a kid, everybody talks about Satu and Ruthie and Sabrina and even Lexi Bandone. Sometimes, you know, Maite's just an afterthought. But she's been our most consistent player, I think, all year long. And she likes being under the radar. But she makes great decisions. Steve, you know, I listen, John Stockton's one of my good buddies. And having spent a lot of time with him up in Spokane, I'll tell you, Maite she's certainly the best pick-and-roll player I've ever coached and one of the best that I've seen. I mean, she truly is, tremendous in it. And Sabrina needs to watch her and see what she does and watch how patient she is. I mean, she's not the quickest kid, but, boy, she can get by even the most skilled and athletic defenders just because of her moxie and her timing. She's a little unorthodox. But, came up big both nights. And is shooting the ball better, too.
One thing that was obvious last night is for most of the game, trouble with the three-pointer. But then all of a sudden when Sabrina drove baseline, found Lexi Bando open for that big one, she splashed it. I think it was Mary Murphy, one of the analysts, who brought up a good point. She says, you know, how important is it for you as a coach to let your shooters know, look, have a short memory. If you're not making it, you still have the green light when it matters.
Oh, yeah, and you know, those athletic teams that we played this weekend, both of those teams, they tried to take Bando out. They just, put a player on her at all times with no help responsibility, and it was fortunate that she just found just a little opening, and that's all Lexi needs. I mean, she's shooting like 55% from the three-point line the last four or five games. I mean, Steve, you and I can't make that percentage in layups. And, you leave her open, and I'll tell you, it's almost as good as a layup. And, boy, what a time to do it. You know, everybody talks about that was the shot that kind of won the game, so to speak. Well, they had four possessions after that shot. It did give us a little cushion, a four-point lead, and it felt like maybe the air went out of them a little bit, but we still had to make some big stops in that last minute.
Oh, yeah. A few final thoughts for Duck Hoop coach Kelly Graves. Sometimes you got to look past the numbers on the stat sheet. And again, Mary Murphy, who did a great job calling the game on the Pac-12 network, she singled out Mallory McGuire and said, you know, in 13 minutes of action, she really shook things up. Not a lot of time on court, but she made her impact known.
She did. Passed the ball well. I think she had three or four assists. Yep. A few rebounds. She does a nice job of clogging the middle in that 2-3. We switched up our defenses. We threw at them basically everything that we have. And when Mallory's in the game, we like to play more of a 2-3. And she just can kind of control the paint. That's a tall, long body there. And, yeah, she was quietly very good. And I thought she was really good in the USC game. You know, Ruthie had fouls, was in foul trouble both nights. And Mallory filled in quite well, I think 34 total minutes. Of really good basketball. So it's nice to have that luxury as a coach, knowing that you've got a, you know, potential pro there as a backup.
You know, I was going over some of your numbers, and you won that game by 9. You guys go 22 of 26 from the line. UCLA 14 of 24. You know, 2 years ago, you shot 70%, 72% last year, 77% this year. How much emphasis has there been on foul shooting? I mean, you're 15th in the country.
Yeah, we do shoot a lot of free throws in practice. We try to do it under pressure. You nailed it. I saw your tweet today. I think I favorited that. You're right. I mean, free throw shooting, they were 14 of 24. There's your difference of 8 right there. And I think that was critical. And part of good free throw shooting, though, is, Steve, late in the game they had to foul us, and the ball was always in Bando or Sabrina or Mike Hand. So. Yeah, and you know, Ruthie, to have somebody like Ruthie, most centers, you know, aren't great foul shooters, but boy, I'll tell you, Ruthie's money. She's been a 75-plus free throw shooter for us for both years, so it's nice to have a luxury of a lot of kids that can make free throws at the end of games.
Especially with ice water in their veins.
Oh, so, and you know, that's tough, man. I've been in those situations, you know, as a player way back when, and it's tough. I mean, you shrink up a little bit when you're at that line in a big moment.
especially seeing those 11 banners hanging. That might do it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
So,
hey,
so
I like not to get off subject because we do have the Arizona schools this week, but I watched their little curtain of shame or distraction or whatever they call it. Pretty clever stuff. I'm kind of looking forward to that myself.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Let's wrap with this. So, you know, now you're 4-0 in the conference. That's your early tiebreaker there. And, you know, Arizona's 0-4 in league, 4-11 overall. So what do you and your staff do with the team coming off, your team's coming off such an emotional, successful weekend? Are you taking any steps to avoid a letdown against a team that, you know, on paper you should handle?
No, I'm just as ornery every day. You know, this time of year, Steve, our practices are basically the same. We watch the same amount of film on every opponent. I mean, I think our kids are smart enough. I certainly know my staff is smart enough to realize every game counts. Now it's human nature, I'm sure, but we'll do everything we can to guard against it. I know we're going to be ready for Arizona on Friday. No doubt about that.
All right. And by the way, that's 8 o'clock, folks, Matt Knight Arena. We'll have the call on KUGN if you can't make it out. Pac-12 Network has it again. He's the head coach. Kelly, thanks as always for your time. Have a great week of practice, and best of luck against the Cats and Sparky this weekend.
Oh, yeah, Steve. Appreciate it, buddy. Who you got tonight?
I'm on the Georgia bandwagon, flat out, straight up.
Let's go Bulldogs. Me too. I don't know if they're going to win, but that's who I'm cheering for anyway.
All right. I'll be pulling with you.
All right, buddy.
Always a pleasure, Coach.